Hello and welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, head blogger at ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for the podcast. We got a great interview coming up for you. We chat with Dina LaRiviere, who heads up collaboration at Cisco Canada. And needless to say, the collaboration space is one that is rapidly changing, and we talk to Dean both about what Cisco has on offer with Spark and its other collaboration technologies, as well as how Cisco sees the face of the game changing in the face of things like cloud and consumption of everything as a service. It's an interesting chat, and a note for you before we listen. This actually was recorded as a video. However, we decided that due to the length of it, probably the best way to disseminate all the knowledge that we share over the course of the 15-minute or so interview would be by podcast. So if there are references to video, that would be why. Anyway, I hope you enjoy our interview with Dean. All right, I'm joined now by Dean LaRiviere, General Manager for Collaboration at Cisco Canada. Dean, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Ron, thanks very much for having us. Appreciate it.
Wanted to chat a little bit about kind of the changing face of collaboration and communication in the modern age. The very way we're doing this, in fact, is sort of evidence of that. But things across the industry obviously are changing with cloud, but communication and collaboration as much or perhaps even more so.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a fascinating time. And, you know, I've been around, I have to say now, for decades in the industry. I don't want to put years anymore for it. But I've seen all these different transitions over the years. We're at a really interesting inflection point in collaboration because there's so many different factors impacting how people communicate. So a big, big part of it, and I'll leverage the video we're on right now, is, you know, mobility, right? People and how they use their mobile devices has become part of their day-to-day life from a personal level. But it's so integrated now, their work experience with bring your own device, mm-hmm. how applications are leveraged within those mobile devices. So, you know, pervasive use of mobility is a big, big transitional impact we're seeing. We're seeing, obviously, the workforce changing, right? People mm-hmm. a little younger than me coming into the workforce have a certain utilization rate of these apps on their mobile devices and how they communicate socially having a big impact. Customer experience is king. And, you know, fascinatingly enough, you think about businesses today, in their annual reports, they wouldn't talk about customer experience even a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Now the CEOs and the CFOs and all the leaders are talking about, you know, what do we do to make that experience compelling because customers stay loyal and they keep coming back. The change in messaging is another interesting one as well because of how people message. Needless to say, SMS has been around for a while, mm-hmm. The various chat rooms and the social networks. But the use of what we call, you know, persistent messaging, mm-hmm. the idea that I'm not just doing an instant message when I'm in the office and I shut down. Now messaging is becoming permanent, if you will, always available. And then lastly, this notion of an API economy now, the ability to customize is changing the whole dynamic of collapse. So those are some external factors we're seeing, Rob, that are impacting things.
And then, of course, there's the slight matter of video and what that's bringing to the table. You know, it's certainly an area I can think going back to Partner Summit years and years ago of listening to John Chambers talking about how, you know, video is going to be the app, and this is certainly a space where that is, if not 100% the case, it is certainly rapidly becoming so.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny enough, it's 10 years ago that John announced and launched telepresence to the world in mm-hmm. 2006, but the idea of immersive corporate boardrooms still evident, still required for depend on use case need, but again, video now is driving down market, so today, just to give you some context, I mean, this is bizarre to me, less than 10% of conference rooms in companies, public or private sector, are video-enabled today. Yeah, the cost of video has come down dramatically, right? The quality, the ability to plug it in simply, quickly, has changed dramatically. So, you know, there's really great transformative opportunities out there for businesses to make a move and look at changing their cost model, how they service their customers, how they keep employees and retain employees. These are starting to play into the psyche of HR leaders now, for example. So it's really neat to see this, the collaboration, not, you know, making a move to kind of evolve to serve those needs for companies and businesses.
10 years, looking at it from a channel point of view, 10 years in even, that's still a lot of green space out there.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, part of it has been cost. You know, when the first, you know, generation of telepresence came out, it wasn't for the faint of heart. You know, our room could be $500,000. Well, a lot of our small business customers and partners that are on this call are going to say, well, that's kind of out of our realm. Well, guess what? Yeah, we can deliver this down market now where a video endpoint at a personal level is about the cost of a notebook now. with a full HD experience, completely different dichotomy than even, you know, a few years back.
Right. So in the Cisco side of things, you have telepresence, you have the call, the UC systems, you have Spark. Can you touch a little bit about how those all kind of come together and what the points are for each sort of?
Yeah, no, thanks for that. So it's a couple of things. You know, I think for collaboration, obviously collaboration means a lot of different things to people, right? And the industry, we love our buzzwords, and I'm sure the partners listening are thinking about, okay, well, first it was, you know, telephony and then IP telephony and then unified communication. And, you know, all you vendors, you're throwing all these names at us, and the analysts, you're throwing names at us. Like, what does this all mean? We try to keep it simple. The collaboration is kind of the umbrella.
Sure.
When you look what's underneath that, right, it is certainly real-time calling, you know, telephony in its purest sense. It's conferencing, you know, the WebEx experience we're sharing today here, you know, to have this dialogue. Messaging. So messaging in these team messaging apps is a whole new category being created now that have this, again, this persistent chat, persistent messaging, content sharing, the ability to video back and forth is now emerging into those application environments. And, of course, sharing of content. See, our answer to that from a platform point of view was the announcement of Spark, Cisco Spark. Mm-hmm. It first came out with Spark, actually, a little over a year ago. It was a team messaging only app, but you know, now we can tell you publicly there was always more to this narrative than that. It was actually a built from the ground up platform to look at addressing all those different requirements that we just finished discussing around, you know, what defines collaboration today. So Spark is really the ability to take messaging, blending in meetings and calling, and regardless if it's an existing Cisco customer in our case or a net new client, we can bring the same experience. So customers that already have made an investment in our platforms, and this is important for our partners to go back and look at refresh opportunities for them, to look at optimizing their revenue. They can bring these cloud experiences and fuse them to the prem, to the existing investment. So it's a great upsell, cross-sell, and a reason to move, because all these next-gen apps are what people care about. You know, if you look at the top care abouts in collab apps, it is instant messaging. It's conferencing at the very top of the heap, actually, is the biggest one of the bunch, right? These things are playing more into what people see value in, and that's what we're doing here. We're fusing those new apps into the existing investments for our customers. Mm-hmm. And then, and excitingly for our partners as well, we're also introducing our own cloud capability geared to the SMB space. With a lot of those partners that join Channel Buzz, they're SMB partners.
Yeah.
They'll be able to have an opportunity to introduce these new calling functions in the cloud. Really, you know, by January latest, maybe even sooner, we're working on that.
So at its base, Spark is it's an app that connects to a cloud service for communications. You know, anyone with an email address, and I'd like to refer to it as something that's easy enough that a tech blogger can figure it out because I use it in my own business.
Right.
What can it go to from there for partners in terms of those upsell and cross-sell opportunities that you were talking about? You know, basically, aside from being a tool to connect internally and with customers, why should partners be excited about Spark within their business?
So I'll give you a couple of reasons. The first one plays back to what I alluded to before. For existing Cisco partners, you know, we say it proudly through the support of our partners that we are partner-centric models, you know. Mm-hmm. We're the number one player worldwide in the UC space. Our collective priority for Cisco and our partners to make sure those customers are kept happy, they're kept relevant, and they can get the next generation tool. So this idea of Spark Hybrid, the branding we put around that, mm-hmm. fuses meeting and messaging with video attach endpoints to the existing install base. So for our partners to monetize, Rob, they can go back to those existing customers, introduce that conversation. It's a great reason to do an upgrade, and there's some great incentives around the upgrade that go with this as well. That customers can get in the game and get these next-gen apps. So great opportunity there for the partners to go in and do that. The second play is pure play around these new next-gen apps. Mm-hmm. They work better with Cisco infrastructure openly, but like WebEx, anyone can buy WebEx for years, right? You didn't need to have Cisco call control. So there's a great opportunity to go back to the broader marketplace and sell these solutions on their own merit, because clients are looking for meeting and conferencing messaging and video attach. And all those things today work with Spark. And soon, as I said, the calling function will be coming. So that's a licensing opportunity for the partners to get in there, to sell new licensing. They need to, I'll say one thing is really triggered here that I'll share with our partner community.
Sure.
Out there. This is an inflection point on the practices that our partners need to have. So if you think about traditional CPE, right, still relevant, still dominant. And by the way, just give you some perspective on that. You know, in right now, cloud's about 15% of the collab space. It's going to evolve, though, to be over double of that within 3 to 4 years. That's all the analysts are saying that. So, you know, it's still relevant to sell prem gear and install and maintain. And we don't want to leave our partners thinking that's just dying. But the market is clearly shifting toward more cloud. Mm-hmm. That's a different selling model. So you're now dealing with software as a service, SaaS selling. You know, we're telling our partners right now, pardon the pun, I was about to bleep this, Rob, they have to kick some SaaS. They got to really get in the game and start to play in this space.
Right.
But that means they have to think differently about how they support the deployment. They have to think about now adoption services is the big buzz in SaaS, right? How do you go and ensure those applications are leveraged and utilized by the companies? They have to go to IT, their partner, and say, hey, we can bring these to you and help your users get and use and optimize these tools to get your investment a bang for the buck, I guess, on that. So it's a different kind of motion. It's really focusing more on the application side of adoption services and retaining those clients. Mm-hmm. And that means recurring revenue, because when the clients are happy, they keep the app, they want to come back again and again. And frankly, we're evolving our programs to not just reward our partners on the upfront sale, we're going to have perks there, as we have in the past. We're also going to offer some incentive on recurring revenue and growth of recurring revenue over time. So there's motivation to build these new best practices around lifecycle adoption within their organizations.
All right. You kind of touched on some of the things that, or some of the ways it's different. In terms of concrete steps partners can take, what do you see as the first steps, the easiest steps to get ready for something like a Spark and for more cloud-based stuff mixed in their collaboration practice?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I'm very proud to say our distribution partners that we have, Tech Data, Ingram, ComStores, you know, key examples for us in Canada, all can transact on our new annuity, SaaS annuity platforms, how you procure the model through these partners. They're getting up to speed. So they become a network of help for our partners, number one. Mm-hmm. Coming to Cisco and your partner account management teams, they're there to help as well. But as far as the actions, and this is the beauty of this offer, we believe, for our partners, this is not a massive build of technical skill that they have to build from a historic sense. Literally, they can sign up to procure the product. That's a process. A couple of check boxes, they have to clear that up. The second thing, 4 hours of training, all virtual. When they've done that, they're certified. They take one of our cold tests, they sign up, they're done. They can go sell it. So, again, the motion there, existing partners, quick move for them. They can bring the value forth, go back to those existing customers and layer that value and that upsell monetization opportunity for them. So once that's done, you know, they need to get proficient at building that lifecycle practice, as I mentioned, but also we're in a narrative of experience, as we said at the outset of the call. How do we bring experiences to these customers in a way that they care about? That means you have to be able to tell and demo the story. So people need to become good storytellers. You know, they need to be able to talk about a narrative saying, okay, if I'm in I'm talking to a credit union, and they have multiple branches. How could I leverage something like Spark for remote access to experts via video? So I can bring someone that maybe is a mortgage expert in the moment in a branch to have a conversation with a client. You know, same kind of premise in other verticals, right, whether it be in retail, banking, financial services. You know, the creative possibilities are almost endless.
All right. You touched on, you know, the idea of getting IT involved in the process a little bit earlier on, but this is also one of those spaces, or would have to be one of those spaces, wouldn't it, where it's the line of business that's making the decision in an increasing number of times. Another space that partners should probably be looking to, who is the person who actually has the day-to-day business pain?
Yeah, Rob, great call. You know, we're seeing this time and again, and we're going through this transition as well. Let's face it, you know, IT has been our bread and butter, and I will say still is, and I mean that from the standpoint of relationship. That's where the money's been, let's face it, right? However, you know, IT is under more and more pressure to be relevant to the business. So the shift in budget, and Gartner's talked extensively about this, and as other analysts have, is shifting more to that line of business. They're saying, hey, we want to stay in this. So IT needs to become that business partner for those lines of businesses, whether it's sales, marketing, engineering, operations, whatever that might look like, and how they work and determine how these tools can plug in. So we need to support IT in that motion. But I'll tell you candidly, throw a little little as Jimmy Fallon jokes, controversy into the mix here.
Sure.
You know, when you look at talking to line of business, our partners need to think about that. They need to get out there and get in front of them, either with the sponsorship of IT, or sometimes, to be completely frank, IT might be a blocker. And they might want to have a direct dialogue with that line of business. But when you go talk to an HR leader or a real estate leader, you could translate your conversation to what they care about and then say, okay, how do I apply my tools back to save you money, reducing risk, helping increase revenue, those business imperatives that your customers are going to care about.
All right. Great. You've touched on a couple of these items throughout in mentioning the call stuff that's coming and sort of the reorientation of the partner program around recurring revenue and that sort of thing. But what can partners expect from Cisco, both in terms of technology and supports and programs and those kinds of things around collaboration for the rest of the year and beyond?
So we're in the end of our fiscal year now, as you and many of our partners, end of July. So we're doing the mad rush to the close here. But we're going to see next year, and we're just finalizing these things. I can't share a lot of the details yet, but we're fine-tuning our program around this notion of lifecycle advisor.
Yep.
And when we think about how we've priced in the past, you know, we would price, and a lot of our partners know this, and we're not deviating from this, but often be based upon volume. So if you were a select or premier or gold partner, you'd buy, and part of the benefits would be, you know, you get certain rebates, incentives, or certain price points you'd pay that would be better based upon your performance. That's still going to be there. But in this new SaaS world, we're looking at a model that might be a little different, because we want partners that can deliver these advisory services.
Right.
And again, the themes around landing, expanding the customer utilization and adoption rate, and then recurring revenue. So how we price it up front, and you'll hear more about this in early August from us, I think is when the timing will come in. There'll be incentives for hunting, greater than you've ever seen before. Cisco's Opportunity Incentive Program will be enhanced for this offer. So when you hunt and bring business forward, you're going to get recognized as an inherent advantage over other partners that are maybe following your lead. And then secondly, importantly, as you build recurring revenue and grow that, you're going to see us offering incentives to partners that can vary. And it'll be not just 1% or 2%. It'll be potentially in the double digits. Mm-hmm. So we'll look at rewarding you on a recurring basis, not just one time, on an ongoing basis. So building your practice up toward recurring revenue is something that is going to pay reward down the road. And, you know, frankly, and we're being, again, a little dramatic about this, for partners don't get on this train now, we think they risk their businesses going forward, because that's what's relevant in the marketplace and will become even more relevant in the coming years.
All right. Big thoughts on collaboration and on kind of the nature of the partner business going forward. Dean, appreciate your taking the time today.
Rob, thanks for the opportunity. Really enjoyed it. Have a great weekend.
You too. Cheers.
Cheers.
So there you have it, the words and wisdom of Dean LeRivière, who was kind enough to share with us some of the secrets of collaboration in 2016 and beyond. Some interesting thoughts for sure. Thanks to Dean for joining us, and thanks to Cisco and our other sponsors for making this whole thing possible. And of course, thank you for listening, because, well, as much as the sponsors are responsible for this being possible, they wouldn't be possible if it weren't for you. Again, appreciated. Hey, we'll be back real soon with another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I think we're going to have Lenovo on in the near future. Don Frame and Stefan Bockhop chatting about what they have going on in the server business. Of course, not the area perhaps one traditionally thinks as Lenovo's strong point, but with acquisitions over the last couple of years and a renewed focus, should be interesting to hear what they have to say. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.